Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of his pain, thy name, O Lord, be glorified in all the days of your dominion. Let the sea roar. Let the trees clap their arms. We put it there, Lord, glorifying the Lord. We worship and we adore you, Lord. We glorify thy name. Thank you for being our midst this morning. That is the covenant you made with us, Lord, that we are two or three and gather together in your name, that you always be in their midst. Thank you for being here this morning, hearing the testimonies of your children, Lord, and in our singing and our praises, you have inhabited. Lord, we worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So this morning, quickly, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Elisha and the double portion. Praise the Lord. Elisha and the double portion. Well, much is always heard about Elijah, but Elisha not so much. But this morning, by God's grace, Elisha and the double portion. Well, first of all, the call of Elisha. In Elijah's darkest hour, Elijah himself, in darkest hour, he has said to the Lord in 1 Kings 19:14, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah couldn't see that, he couldn't see anyone to take his own place, to replace him. He couldn't see. But the Almighty God, you know, did not only know, told him that, look, you know, Elijah, I have 7,000 which have not bowed their knees to Baal, nor even kissed him at all. Not only that, Elijah didn't even know that God knew of an obscure man, a farmer somewhere, who will be his replacement. When we think we know everything, we don't know anything, you know. Job said, I put my hand in my mouth. I said, you know, I thought that, you know. So, I'm not saying that he has 7,000. I have one obscure farmer by the name of Elisha who will replace you. So, so goes his story, you know. So, Elisha was a busy farmer, as far as we know, having 11 yokes of oxen. He was a very busy young farmer, an average person, so to say, we're doing well, you know, oxen. And the 12 oxen himself was in it, and you know, behind that, the 12 oxen, you know. Notwithstanding, he was, we can learn a lot of things from this man, you know. Notwithstanding, he was not a man to push himself forward at all, you know. He was unlike some of the church today who have a gift, be it a big or even little gift, they think they are indispensable in the church, you know. Now, we have him today all over the world, you know. But look at this man. Just having had his thing, you know. And Elisha did not seek the office. The office sought him. That's a wonderful. Like David of old. When Jesse has brought all his children except this one that God has chosen before Samuel, you know. They didn't think anything about Samuel, you know. I mean, the last one they say he will be the king, you know. Anyway, so, like I said, Elijah did not seek the office. The office sought him. God sought him there, you know. When Elijah found Elijah, he took his mantle and threw it over the shoulders of Elijah. Elijah went his way. And you know the mantle, what it means? The mantle is a sign of the prophetic office. Praise the Lord. Put upon his shoulder and son of that, and he went his way. And Elijah was just there amazed what has happened to him. What's all about, and so on. Then later on, he left his oxen in the field, ran after, and just paraphrasing this chapter in 2 Kings and stuff like that, you know, this morning. But, you know, so, and, you know, he left his oxen standing in the field and ran after Elijah. Elijah had, you know, he had accepted without any hesitation, you know, the call of God in his life. And when he got there, he only requested of Elijah that, let me just go and bid farewell to my parents, and then I will follow you, you know, I follow you. He was ready to forsake a life of security, if you want to call it security, and to take
in his state, a life of, you could want to call it, uncertainty. I mean, he had 11, 12, okay, or, I mean, yoke of hungry, you know, a stressful farmer and something like that, you know, and God has called him, you know, all we can learn from him. So, I mean, once you forsake all those things, life of security, instead of you take a life of seemingly uncertainty, one which involves probably unknown hardship and danger. See, cost of discipleship, right? It's in the New Testament too, as you're going to see right now, you know. Anyway, it reminds us of the disciples of the Lord leaving all and follow him. We see Peter left the fishing and followed the Lord. As for you, a cash man, the Lord told him, you know. And in Matthew 10:28, one man came to the Lord, I believe it is, said, what shall I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, well, you know the law, and do what the Lord says. Oh, Master, have kept all this since the day I was born. I mean, you know, the Ten Commandments, I kept them, so, oh, the Lord said, you know, you lack one thing. What is it? Say all that you got, right? And then cut it, and then follow me. Bible said the man went sad. Yeah, the Lord looked at him and loved him. He went so sad and so on because he had great riches and so on. The Lord said to the disciples, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's even harder than an old camel to pass through a needle's eye. That's how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, the disciples think they were poor. They were not poor. Lord, who then can be saved, you know? Who then can be saved, you know? And then the Lord said to them, I said, look, how much harder it is for them who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. But Peter said in verse, that's where I'm going to, 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. See, cause of discipleship. We learn from Elisha, he left all those things and followed the prophet Elijah. We can learn a lot of things from him. So, here is it now. It's one of, see, this prophet, one time we were here, about three services, showing Christ almost in every prophet, in every scripture, right? Here is a type of Christ also. This one, some of the ways in which Elijah typed our Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah, the type of the church, left everything and followed him, just like the Lord's disciples. Coming to Elijah now, in an irrevocable decision, Elijah took the yoke of oxen which he had been plowing. What did he do with them? Threw them. And using the wood, firewood in the plowshare, and he made a great feast out of those oxen. And then, you know, follow Elijah. And he made a public announcement, if you want to say that, of his decision to follow Elijah as a homeless wanderer, if you want. You know, he left all of those things. Cause of discipleship. Even in Christianity, the Lord say, except you take your own cross and follow me daily. And that, you know. So you can't be my disciple. So we learned a lot of things from there. And there is not much written in the scriptures from the time between when Elijah put that mantle upon him and when Elijah was translated. Not much was spoken about that time, what they did together, not much. All we learned was that Elijah took the place of his servant to Elijah. In fact, all we know about him is in 2 Kings 3:11. He was the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. That's all we heard about him. Not much was spoken about how they relate, what they did together in those times of period. So we know that, you know. So all we know is he poured water in the hands of Elijah. That's all we know. Very humble. And who knew that one day a servant like Elisha will even be as great as his own master. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. No? So humility in all these things before exaltation, you know. This humility to serve another reminds us of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples too, you know. At one time, the wife of Zebedee, I mean mother of John and James, came to the Lord and I will make a request of you, Lord. Lord said, what we thou? All in that kingdom, that these two my sons, one should sit on your left, right, and one on your right hand. And the Lord said, Can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink with? Or be baptized with the baptism we are going to be baptized with? Yet they say we can do it. Well, I know the Lord said, yeah, you will do that. That day you will be baptized with my baptism. I will drink of this cup that I drink of. But to give one place on my right, on my left in the kingdom to your sons, it's not mine to do. But it shall be given of my Father in heaven to do for which it is prepared, you know. And of course, the other 10 disciples get jealous, you know, that, you know, they get jealous and so on, that, you know, they don't put them aside, you know. And they say, you know what? The princes of the Gentiles, you know, they exercise dominion over them. And if great among them, they exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. He that shall be greater among you, let him be your minister. And he will be chief among you, that is in Matthew 20:27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. See? So we are learning from Elijah and so that, you know, and even the according to the New Testament, and also again, you know, starting the Christ here. And even the Lord himself, he even said that even the Son of Man came not to to minister, you know. And in Philippians, talking about the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told in Philippians 2, talking about the Lord Jesus, who will be in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Talking about humility and exaltation, right? You know, that man left everything, you know, 12 yoke of oxen. I don't know if you have heard about Elijah before. You might have heard about it, but you know, call fire down from heaven. But made himself, meaning the Lord made himself deity, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, humility, you know, humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. What a lesson to learn from the law, learn from Elisha, and so on, and learn from the law, that you know the disciples and so on. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So just to say that, and you know, the story of Elisha and so on, and Elijah, in fact, in summary, Elijah is a type of Christ in so many ways and so on. Elijah is type of the church, as we see, you know, as we go through this this morning. Now, before we talk so much about Elijah, the translation of Elijah, let's talk about that. You know, the day of this finally came when Elijah was to be translated. Elijah had a knowledge of the translation before, he had a knowledge of it and so on. Not even only Elijah had a knowledge of the translation, Elijah himself had a knowledge of it. Not even only that, the sons of the prophet, they had a knowledge that Elijah will be translated that day, as we will see, you know. And it means something for us in our day, you know. But the event had been, revealed not only to Elijah, but to Elisha, like I said before, and even the sons of the prophets, the new baptism and so on. Now, the thing is this, the conversation between Elijah and Elisha on the day of the translation makes us to think that Elijah wanted to be left alone that day completely. He wanted to be in solitude, you know. And just a little between the line, why will they want to be in solitude? That's all, you know. Why will they want to do that, you know? And the reason why it might be this, oh, I'm going to be leaving this earth today. Yeah, I just was thinking myself, as well as, you know, we are thinking for him. And I'm going up there, you know, where the ancient fathers have gone, where Job is. I'm going to see Job. I'm going to see, Abraham. I'm going to see Enoch. To see Moses, want to see Jacob. So this thing was probably ringing in his mind of Elijah, and say, you know what? I want to be alone. So why do I say that? That you see all these people, we know so because though all the people were dead and they were buried, we know at the resurrection of Christ, Bible says it took captive the carries, right? That is in Ephesians 4:8. So brothers used to be down as at Hades, right? And at the rising of Christ, he took that paradise with him to the third heaven. And we have scripture for that. In Ephesians 4:8, we are told that, wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So from the time of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous dead, I mean, if you call them sleeping, don't go to Hades anymore. Paradise is no longer there anymore. Paradise was taken off when the Lord rose from the dead. And that's why Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, here what he said. I want to read that to us and so on. So, verse 2. I knew a man, Apostle Paul wrote, in Christ, above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, he said, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I'm saying that God, the Lord Jesus, took paradise with him from Hades up to his third heaven where he rose from the dead. And that's where he took paradise. And verse 4, you will see what I'm talking about. How that he was caught up into paradise. Paradise wasn't down anymore. Paul was caught up, right? Caught up to heaven. That's where paradise is right now. So when a Christian sleeps, doesn't go down to Hades, go right to paradise. Near the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where they are right now, that's where paradise is today. Anyway, so Moses was thinking, Elijah was thinking about all these things. Once I will see all these people up there, when he got there and so on, we thought, you know, in his mind. So no wonder Elijah felt a desire for solitude, where he could be alone with all these thoughts. We thought, you know, where I was going. I mean, leaving behind without death. I mean, only one person has ever done that before, Enoch and so on, you know. His heart was full of all these things. No wonder, you know, in 2 Kings 2:1, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. I'm saying that, you know, he wanted to be alone, really, you know. You see what he told Elijah, you know, that day. And in a casual way, he just, you know, as though nothing going to happen, he just said, you know what? Elijah said unto Elijah, study here in Gilgal. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And of course, Elijah will have nothing to do with such a thing, you know. Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. That is 2 Kings 2:2. And in Bethel, of course, there was a school of prophets in there, you know, sons of the prophets, where I believe that Samuel might be the founder of that school of the prophets, because when Samuel was alive, he had this school where he was teaching the people and things like that. He taught the people and things like that. Anyway, that's by the way. Anyway, back in Bethel, the sons of the prophets in there. Upon arrival there, the sons of the prophets, that's why I told you they had the knowledge that Elijah would be going up that day. Here's what they said. Upon arrival at Bethel, the sons of the prophets took Elijah by the side and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? So they had a knowledge of Elijah going up, you know. And of course, Elijah said, shh, don't keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody about anything about this, and so, you know. And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. 2 Kings 2:3. And that same day, with increasing importunity, now Elijah requested that Elijah remain at Bethel while he went to Jericho. He wants to be solitary, he wants to be alone, you know, maybe upon what I just told you right now. I mean, thinking about what is going to happen, you know, and going to be the second person in the whole wide world that ever left this earth without seeing that, you know, want to just be alone and thinking about those who have come before him, you know, that, you know, and something like that, you know, by revelation. Maybe he knew that, you know, he would be seeing all those people and so on, you know. But the reply of Elijah was always the same as before. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Can you see determination, you know, and, you know, discipleship and so on, loyalty, you know. I mean, nothing can separate you and I and so on, you know. So anyway, and upon arrival at Jericho, There are other sons of prophets in there at the same place. And they approached Elisha and said unto him the same thing. They know about it. And some of that, you know, like today, the nominal Christians today, I'll come to it later, you know, they have been hearing about the rapture, right? Rapture, and so on. These are nominal Christians. I even want to call them the sons of the prophets, really, you know. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away their master from their head today? And he said, yeah, I know. Just keep your mouth shut, you know. 2 Kings 2:4. Now, let's talk about the school of the prophets. Not much is talking about them, really. Who are the sons of the prophets, really, you know? So, and it's so strange how things happen in the Bible. Why is the school of the prophets built at Bethel and Jericho? These are cursed cities, right? And let me talk about that a little bit and so that, you know, these are cursed places. Why is the school of the prophets in there? Let's talk about the curse on Bethel. As a digression here, you know, just to in 1 Kings 13:1, and behold, there came a man of God out of, talking about the curse on Bethel, right? And we can talk more about Bethel, the house of God, where everything began. Even Abraham himself began from there, and Jacob, and all kind of things, and some of that, you know, but it became a cursed city. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus said the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee, this altar, no, a curse in there, and upon thee, this altar over there, shall be offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. That's the curse that was put upon that place. Did it come to pass? Of course, it did. So, it really come to pass. That's an interesting story, Jeroboam and so on. I don't want to go in there. As he set forth his hand, for example, as if to say, grab that prophet and so on. His hand just so frozen like that, you know. Anyway, I will do that one, you know, because bless the name of the Lord. Anyway, so that's the curse on Bethel. How about Jericho? Back in the days of Joshua, Jericho was cursed after it was taken by the Israelites and so on, that, you know. And let me read that one to you also. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and builded this city, Jericho. See that? He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. The Bible is precise. Did it come to pass? Absolutely. In 1 Kings 16:33. I'm telling you, why did they build the school of the prophets in Jericho and Bethel, of all the costly, I don't know. Anyway, so in 1 Kings 16:33, did Joshua's prophecy come to pass? Of course it did. And Ahab made a grave. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Verse 34 says, in his days did Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho, you see. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his younger son, Segub, according to the word of the law, which is spake by Joshua the son of Nun. See? The Bible is so wonderful. God's word is so wonderful. It's precise and so on, as you know. So I don't know why they built the school of the prophets in those two courses. Anyway, by the way. Now, back to our story. Elijah might have, maybe involved whatever way that this was done. We don't know. So while at Jericho now, Elijah again said unto Elisha, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as it before, he has resolved that no matter what he wanted to do, I will not leave thee. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went, two of them, on 2 Kings 2:6. Eventually, they both arrived at the Jordan River. So, and for the sons of the prophet, what happened to them? These two are far off. They won't even come near at all. You know, They were awed by Elijah. The crazy people come near and so on. They stood afar off. As was rightly said, they were distance followers. As was written before, no, they were distance followers. They stood far off and so on. You know, they couldn't even come near. They were awed by Elijah. So they were distant followers. Rather than stop at Jordan, what happened? Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, you know, and said, mighty waters, you know. And know what happened there? The waters divided. And the two passed over to the other bank of the river. That marked the last of the chain of wonders performed by Elijah. One other thing we had him do later on, there was a letter from heaven. I can't get there right now, you know, that came from heaven, maybe from him and things like that, you know, but that marked the end of the wonders performed directly by him that we know of in the Bible. So his great faith, sir, was undiminished to the last hour as he was on this earth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is, and according to his letter, the saints of God at the end of time, our faith will be undiminished in this rapture until we go up.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be diminished. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where we are standing today. The waters close up. As soon as they pass over, that Jordan has too many divisions, you know. Don't forget, Joshua in his days, right? He passed with the Jordan. It was parted for them also, you know. So, and Elijah did it. And Elijah now do it again. I'm going to say that now. Now, Elijah realized it was the last opportunity to reward his faithful follower or successor, successor. So he said unto Elisha in the 2 Kings 2:9, what I shall do for thee before I be taken from heaven. Talking about the double portion, right? What shall I do for you? Be faithful. He remained in the background, you know, as if he was nobody, you know. Just humble himself and so on. Like I said, all we know about him that he was just home of his servant, pour water in the hands of Elijah, you know. So without hesitation, let us say, he didn't ask for money. He had money before, 12 youth of oxen, right? I left all those, I left the world to follow you, to follow the Lord and so on, you know. What will he ask for? Like Solomon, you know, when the Lord appeared to him and so on, you know, in the dream. What do you want me to do for you, Solomon? Oh, just I'm just a young person. Who can govern this great nation and so on? So just give me wisdom, you know. And God said to Solomon, as we all know that, you know, before you have not asked for yourself for wealth and riches, ask for wisdom and so on, I will give you wisdom, and upon it I will give you riches and so on. So this man, he cared only about the anointing. He sold out to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Nothing of this thing matters to him and so on. He has learned it. He has seen the supernatural around Elijah and so on. He didn't want to content himself with that only. I want a double portion of your anointing, O Elijah. That is 2 Kings 2:9. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Wow. You know the Lord can do many things. I don't know. He had that faith that God can do it, you know. He didn't limit himself. And Elijah said, wow, thou hast asked a hard thing. He denying. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. 2 Kings 2:10. So, and of course, what happened? 2 Kings 2:11. And it came to pass, as the sea went on and talked, Elisha kept his eyes transfixed unto him, unto Elijah, you know. As they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. He did not remove his eyes. Elijah typed Christ in that way too. Looking unto Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith. Don't be distracted now. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus. No matter what they say about the rapture, about the end of the age, don't listen to the liars and the distractor. Keep your eye on the Lord. Look for the anointing. Seek those things which are in heaven, right? Not the things on the earth, you know. So, did you hear that Elisha was hungry after all those things, or he lacked any good thing? In fact, he was friends to the poor. Praise the Lord. You know, his ministry was just to the poor and so on. He cared for the people. One time, one woman came to her. You know, of course, you know, many miracles that he did and so on, that, you know. So, he was a deep. No two prophets are the same, right? Elijah himself was a man of the, you know, of the cave and of the wilderness. But Elijah mixed with the people, you know. So they are all different and yet the same anointing. Bible says, even in the New Testament, about the gifts of the Spirit and so on, there are diversity of gifts, right? You know, the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, the same Lord. And diversity of operation, and the same God. That's what people miss today and so on, you know. So God is not limited. It's a God of diversity. Praise the Lord. And the same God, the same Holy Ghost and so on, you know. Anyway, so now, when the thing had vanished away from Elijah, Elijah had gone to heaven, he took the mantle of Elijah and returned to the Jordan and smiting the water, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know, where in this world, the Lord anoints you and so on, you know. Don't wait for Elijah now. You have to have that Jordan yourself now, amen? Praise the Lord. Everyone bearing his own yoke and so on, and so on, you know. So he didn't wait. He said, why not? Your pastor, he did the same thing. And of course, the river parted for him, and he went. Now, the sons of the prophet, they saw him afar off, did the same thing that Elijah did, you know, and so that, you know, because the double portion, and so that, you know. What did they say? In 2 Kings 2:15, and I came to pass, and they say, oh, the spirit of Elijah does rest of Elijah. They could even see the same thing that he did, just as the Lord said to the disciples and so on. Elijah typing the cross in there, and then Elijah typing the church, you know. So that was happening right there, you know. So let me talk about this a little bit and so on that, you know. And the son of the prophet, they came to meet him in 2 Kings 2:35. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. But talking about Elijah typing Christ and Elijah typing the church, we see that the same thing, when the Lord went, what happened when the Lord went up? The event shows just another way in which Elijah typed the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:33, what do we see in Acts? Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, meaning Lord Jesus, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Like the mantle of Elijah fell upon Elisha, a double portion of that, you know. When the Lord went to heaven, he sent back his spirit to us, to the believers. The Lord sent his own spirit to his waiting disciples, who by faith saw him not only as a crucified and risen Savior, but as the one who has returned to heaven for the purpose of sending his own spirit to those who will believe in him. No wonder in John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, the Lord was dwelling with them, and shall be in you, in the Holy Ghost and so that, you know. So we see how the group side, the church, the Lord and the church right there. Now, the question may be asked, why Elisha asked for a double portion? Why will he do that? He knew the job ahead of him. He saw the difficulties of Elijah and the tribulation of Elijah and all he went through and so on that, you know. The prophet had seen, be given a great work to do. What was? To continue the reformation that Elijah had started, you know. You know, it's a great work. I can't do it myself. I will need the power, not only the power of Elijah, but double that anointing. I will need it. That's why he was asking for that anointing, you know. He knew the difficulty that Elijah had faced and so on. He did not feel he could do Elijah's work unless he had Elijah's power. No wonder even the church today and so on, the Lord told us, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So that's what we know. Knowing what lay ahead of him, he felt he could not go on without the spirit of Elijah. So again, typing, Elijah typed the church while Elijah typed Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, the church cannot carry on the work of Christ. Amen? We can't do it, you know? So the Lord even said, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? It's a type of Christ and the church right there again. So, after the Lord returned to heaven, he now gave the disciples instruction and promise of the Holy Ghost to the church. In Luke 24:49, it's a type really like the type there are both Elijah and Elisha, you know. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You see, this is why Elisha asked for a double portion, the starting of the church and the Lord. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So just talking about the typing, how Elijah typed Christ there, and Elijah the church, you know. Elijah is said to have performed twice as many miracles. You can count them yourself. Twice as many miracles as did Elijah, because he got a double portion, right? So that's why Elijah typing the Lord, Elisha the church. What did the Lord tell us in John 14:12? No, he said that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also. The very first thing Elisha did was to pass the Jordan, the same thing that Elijah did, right? Typing Christ. Oh, you see that? We said three sermons here about how you can see Christ almost in every prophet, right? The first thing Elijah did was to pass the Jordan like Elijah did. He was typing Christ and the church, right? Now, the same thing here. The church, the Lord was saying that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the what that I do, shall he do also. And I watch, and greater works than thee shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Double portion anointing, right? Now, we know this very well. The Lord is talking about the quantity, right? Not in quality. Praise the Lord. I mean, what other quality? Because for this, that's what I was saying. So in quantity, that's why today, you know, he limited himself to Jerusalem. Miracles are working in China today, in Nigeria, or maybe in California, whatever, where the Christians are today, right? Christ is working all of them. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you see how they type the Christ and the church. Elijah the Christ and then Elijah the church, you know. So now we see right here, you know. So the translation of Elijah is a clear type of the rapture of the church. An event which is yet to come to pass, but very imminent from all we know from scripture. That's why you are here in this country. That's why I believe, you know, we are here in this country, you know. The wave and side of this king, the coming of the Lord is here, you know, so that's why we are here, of many things. As Enoch before him, Elijah had walked with God, you know. He had witnessed mighty victories of faith, Elijah did, and had also endured severe trials and hardship. At one time, oh Lord, let me even like that now. I'm not even better than my father, and that, you know, he was so frustrated by the system of that day, and that, you know, and but through it all, God had prepared him for the greatest event of the translation to heaven without seeing death. Now, we are here today, you know, about last Sunday or so, in the world system. They say they want to, I don't know what they want to be, the billionaires. They are racing for space now. That's right. You know, and the billionaire and so on went 50 miles above the earth, you know, and came back and so on. Now, on Tuesday, the richest man in the world, you know, so-called Jeff Bezos, will be going up next Tuesday and so on, that, you know, in his Blue Origins space aircraft or rocket or whatever it is and so on. Yes, he does. It is called Blue Origin. Richard Branson. I'm sorry? Hey, it's 50 miles, just the edge of space, it's 50 miles away from there, up in there.
No parking.
The only parking place you have is National Space Station, which is up there, but they want to experience weightlessness, that's all it is, you know, for only 1 minute or so, you know. When you go away far from the earth, the gravitational pull is like zero, you know, where it's very less. So they don't have weight. You have weight because that gravity is pulling you, that's why you have weight, right? So when you go up in space, so there's no more.
They're floating the aircraft,
no gravity, you know. Anyway, of course, Musk now, He has bought his own ticket now to go to space too, you know, from Richard. Yeah, he's doing his own thing, but he has bought his own ticket, $250,000 ticket to go with Richard Branson thing. What am I talking about? Why are these things happening now? You see, why are they happening now? All rushing to space and saying, what is going on? Talking about the rapture of the church, right? So, where they are using rockets and things like that, they are forgetting that two men have gone to heaven far beyond the heaven of heaven, you know? So, without any rockets, right? The power of God, you know? So, Bible says that, Satan, you are an offense to me because you do not savor the thing that be of God. You see? So, these people are saying that, you know? And they are healing them now. Now, that's what happened in the rapture. Will they hear the rapture? Now, the day of this will come very soon too, when we will be translated, amen? Our faith, like that of Elijah, will be undiminished right on to the rapture day by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So far we have the word of God. Today, God is preparing his people for that hour of translation. He is now raising them up to carry on the Elijah ministry, amen? Very short and powerful, praise the Lord. It won't stay here for too long, you know, and so on. They will shake the old, you know, they will shake the old earth, the larger earth at the end of time, and so on, you know. Short and powerful revival, then they will go. The time, therefore, is drawing nigh when the chariot of fire will appear again to God's children to carry out to meet the Christ in the air, amen. Yeah. They shall come in a moment and cast us away, those who are prepared for that hour, and shall usher us into the presence of the great King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What I'm talking about, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, that we get focused now, like Elisha. No, keep your eye on the Lord, amen. Don't let anything distract you and so on. You know, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not even leave you and so on. Keep your eye on the Lord. That is it. That is the secret now. Now, past the rapture, that's what happened. You know, we see in Elisha, what will happen after the rapture, you know. The rapture is an event that is bound to attract worldwide attraction. You think Bezos or whatever they are called, or Branson and so on. Wait until the rapture occurs, you know. Now, one would think an event such as the rapture will be a solemn, significant, will bring deep conviction to the world, and to cause them soul searching, you will think, and even maybe to effect mass repentance. Will it already be so? I don't think so. Not from history and what happened in the past. The event, in many cases, where we apparently bring greater fear upon those who have rejected Christ. Such will be the case where the two witnesses of Revelation 11 are caught up. There is unfaithfulness in them in Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Yeah, there will be fear in them, and so when the rapture takes place, even in our own case too, by the grace of God, you see, there will be a kind of fear. But more than that, on the other hand, talking about post-rapture events now, what will happen in this world when we live, you see? Now, on the other hand, the rapture of the man-child, spoken of in Revelation 12, causes Satan and his followers to bitterly persecute the remnant, meaning those who are left behind of the church, which keep the commandments of God. That is in Revelation 12:17. It says, so which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. You see, rapture taking place, and there are here those who have the testimony of Christ. Another reason to tell you that not all the church go off, you know. That's why we should be sober and vigilant. Watch and pray as the Lord told us, you know. If we persecuted and so on, that, you know. We saw this in Elijah too, as I'm going to close up with that right now. The impact of the translation of Elijah upon the people at that time. We can learn from it. We help us to understand what will happen after the rapture. Those that happened in the past, they are harbingers. They are type of what will happen in the future. Like I'm typing Elijah with Christ and Elijah with the church. So the same thing, the event after Elijah was taken up, the persecution and mockery of Elijah will happen again. Let's go through that and I will close. Now, the sons of the prophets, they had previously received the knowledge, like I showed you before, they knew of that Elijah will be going up, right? To be translated, seem not to be altogether convinced when the thing happened. Today, nominal Christians have been hearing rapture, and so that, you know. So I'm telling you, when it happened, some say, oh, where will be? Then they will believe. Maybe so. They didn't believe when Elijah was taken up, you know. If that generation find it difficult to believe in Elijah's translation, how much more the unbelieving worldlings in our time when the rapture takes place? We are gone, right? Talking about what's happening on earth right now. And we can learn from Elijah and Elisha what happened. God put that in there, let it happen to show what will happen and so on. Some will be troubled indeed, yes. But the world must go on. Wonders we have found out do not convert people. No matter what happened to Elijah, he didn't convert them, you know. Rather, he brings mockery among them. Even the sons of the prophets who had the knowledge of this thing, like the nominal Christian who have been hearing rapture, when it happens, the same attitude we hold in this world and so on. The rapture may cause fear and foreboding to many, but in the end, it will be rationalized. They will explain it away. See? Explain it away. And the war will settle down again to continue in its former way. That will not happen when we are gone, and some of that, you know. Now, indeed, not only that, when Elijah returned to Bethel, after that, crossed the Jordan and turned to Bethel, what happened to him? And what happened at that time? He was confronted with mockers of the translation of Elijah. Mockery, you know, and some of that, you know. And that is 2 Kings. Yeah. You know, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, right? The Bible says they were glad for a while, you know. Yeah, that, you know? Anyway, 2 Kings 2:33 says this. And he went off from there, meaning from Jordan and the party of Jordan to Bethel. And as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children. That can give version of it. The other version says they were youth, not just maybe teenagers and something like that, you know, out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up. That boy, they were mocking him and mocking the translation and making fun of the man of God. Can you imagine such a thing, you know? And of course, as 24, there is a repercussion, there's a punishment for doing such a thing, you know, and he turned back and looked on them. And caught them, and in the name of the Lord, and there came forth two she bears out of the wood, and there 42 children of them. So it's a foretell of what will happen after the rapture. What will that be in our own time? It's a foretell of the event of the great tribulation. Praise the Lord. It's going to be so. And as the two ferocious bears executed the vengeance of God upon those 42 youths who had mocked Elisha. So in the hour of the great tribulation, a terrible, terrible two beasts, actually, according to the book of Revelation 13, shall rise and devour the earth. 13 of Revelation 5 says, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. What a significance. 42 youths, right? 42 months of the Antichrist, you know, tearing apart things upon the face of the earth. It is also significant that the two beasts at Bethel were bears. What does that tell us? The beast of Revelation 13 had the feet of a bear. I can't go and read all of that right now, you know. And we all know what that means in symbology in the nation Russia. The symbol of Russia is the bear, right? And we know that. So today we see the paw of the great communist bear raised to strike right now, you know, almost like, you know, I don't know, where she stands today and so on. For the moment, she's been restricted. It's in restraint, meaning Russia, the antichrist system and so on. Underneath the thing, they have everything made underneath and so on. Overnight, as a thief, you know, this will just happen overnight, you know, overnight event will happen and so on. Everything is in the place and so on. So now, but when the hour comes now, the beast power shall go forth to tear and destroy, and shall continue to do it for 42 months. You see, that 42 is very, very significant. You know, so 42 months, the attacker will operate. That 3.5 years, right? So it's very, very important. They just cut their shadows before, future events, cut their shadows before and so on, tapping the future India. So Russia, like I said before, symbolized by the bear India. So again, mockery at the end of time, like those, they were mocking Elisha, right? So Jude tells us at the end of time, there should be mockers. There are two mockers at the end of time. Mockers about, oh, they say the Lord is coming, God is coming. Where is he coming now? So there will be mockers at the end of time, Jude, verse 18. There should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own laws, their own ungodly laws. So they will be mocking the coming of the Lord. Why did he come? Of Cobra Peter, Holy Ghost in Peter, in 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall be come in the last days scoffers walking after their own laws, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers first asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Even go back 18 months, is the world still the same thing? Even the last 24 hours, the world is the same thing. Even this 1 week, is the world the same thing? Look at Europe, the great flood. About how many people have died and so on, that, you know. Look at the great seas and so on. How did the problem? These things are happening and so on. Nothing has really been seen. They are really liars and so on. There will be mockery by the coming of the Lord. When we go in the rapture, there will be a mockery here also to see what is going to be happening and so on. The question is now, as I close this morning, are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready? Be ye also ready, Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? 24 of Matthew 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. The Lord admonishes his own people, you know. Now in Mark 13:35, as I close this morning, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, they find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Well, have been well said. The best way to look for the coming of the Lord is to look for him every day, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That is the only way not to miss it. Not even the angels know that day and the hour. Not even the angels of heaven know it and so on. Angels are not omniscient. They don't know all things. Praise the Lord. That's what they don't know. They don't know the day the Lord will come back again for the church and things like that, you know. So, but we're not missing to just watch for him every day, you know. So, and the last scripture here this morning, which is not strange to any of us here, and the Lord has given us the key, the clue. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So you see that double portion, we tap it to Christ and the church, and all of those things happening on the face of the earth, translation of Elijah, major things are going up and so on. We are in that era of time. Everything is set to happen. And as soon as the church is gone, Bible says it has left us. We don't look at this anymore, you know. So let us be ready every day. Don't put anything ahead of you, you know, of the Lord. Take your cross daily. Set your account every passing day. Look at dedication of Elisha. Everything and so on. So we're not all called like that, but in our life, nothing should be put ahead of the Lord, amen. That is it. You know, we're not all called to give everything we are doing like Elisha, but or like Peter, whatever. But the thing is this: there should be no idols in our life, amen. Yeah. What is an idol? An idol is anything. It could be your job. It could be legal thing that you are doing. If you put ahead of it, in fact, the Lord says, "If you love your mother or father more than me, you are not worthy of me," amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord should be first in our life. Let be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thy word is true, Lord, O Father. We thank you because you love us. It's how you are, you know, you have shown us all these things for the time we are living in, for our time, that we may be ready So we thank you and we worship you, Lord. And your children all over the world who don't have this understanding, Lord, we pray for them too, Lord. Because we know of a surety, Lord, you are that great and the good shepherd who will leave the 99 and look for that one, until you find him. We are in that final hour now, Lord, looking for that one now, Lord. And once we get him in so much symbology, then the church is gone. So help us day by day, keep our eye upon you, Lord, and having no idols in our life. And Lord, be ready to tell everybody we are there to tell, or we can tell, of what hope lies in us. They can mock, they can giggle, they can make fun, but we pray that in your mercy, Lord, O God, even as by fire, many will still be saved by the witnessing of your children. Lord, we thank you, Father, and we glorify thy name, Lord. And we say, O Lord, even Lord Jesus, come quickly. Father, we worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.